This is Leading Equity, episode 36. I'm your host, Dr. Sheldon L. Akins. As equity advocates, we often have moments in which we need to reflect on who we are and our authenticity. Personally, I have made a conscious commitment to strive to be better as a trailblazer through personal growth and understanding of what it means to be a leader in equity. Today's episode discusses how we can allow ourselves to change one step at a time. Because knowing yourself is a process that can only take place internally.
The seeds of leadership are a way in which someone can self-reflect on if they're doing some, I don't say tenets, but if they're doing some acts that can enable them to be a better leader, but just helping others. And granted, you don't have to be a CEO to be a leader. You can be a leader in your own house. You can be a leader in your classroom. You know, you can be a leader in a community, in your neighborhood, whatever it is. But you can be a leader. That's just how life works. You know, you don't have to have a title to be a leader.
Mr. Ernest Trey Hadrick III is an educator, leader, and coach of youth in the greater Philadelphia area. He has been working with youth for over 13 years. Trey is currently a middle school counselor, a position which he has held for the past 8 years. He's the founder of a local nonprofit called Norristown Men of Excellence Incorporated that strives to better the living conditions in the community. Most recently, Trey spoke at a TEDx event on the topics of seeds of leadership.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Leading Equity. Trey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sheldon, for having me today on your show. It's a pleasure to connect with you.
Well, we connected on LinkedIn, and you brought me some, or you actually wrote me some positive feedback in regards to the podcast, and I had an opportunity to check you out. What really drew me to you was your TEDx speech that you had on leadership, and so we're going to get into that a little later. But before we get started on that, I wanted you to share, because you're a school counselor.
Yes.
Can you talk about some of the things that you do to ensure equity for your students?
So in my daily walk as a middle school counselor, I've been doing this for 8 years now. Some of the things that I'm a firm believer of as far as trying to make sure that I can show equity is listening to the concerns of the students and the parents. Often, you know, it's easy not to take heed of that or think because we've been certified or we know what kids need or what the families need in, you know, the African-American and Latino cultures, which are usually the cultures or the ethnicities that have these lack of equity situations. And often, you know, I try to listen to them and get their voice and learn from what they say is necessary to help them be successful. I also try to speak up, you know, in different situations at the job when dealing with my principals or administration. I try to make sure that my voice is heard in areas in which they might not be aware of and not think about it. You know, sometimes literature that we send home, you know, maybe the parents aren't going to understand exactly how that's written. And you need to make sure that it's written in a way in which they can understand, you know, or, you know, if a kid is complaining about something and they're saying, oh, just a kid being a kid. No, it might be a challenge in the class with a relationship, you know, and making sure that people are understanding that it's fairly done.
So you say you listen to students and parents. Is that something where you ensure that you set up, like, so how are you reaching out to parents then, you know, to get them to come see you, or are you going to see them? I mean, what is typically your way of reaching out to make sure that you are listening to their concerns?
I try to force any method of communication, whether it's myself calling a parent, emailing parents. Last year in our school, we had a big push to collect all emails from all of our families in our school, just to make sure that we're all up to date with everything. Cause we know that a lot of families in 2018 don't always listen to voicemails when they come. So we try to make sure our methods of communication with email is there, and also enable teachers to have the opportunity to communicate with, you know, a lot of families at one time, you know, for some of the things that were going on. As well as there's a new app that we use in our district called Talking Points, which allows us to sit behind a computer and send messages to parents that come to their phone as a text message, and enables a parent to respond back. And if our families, you know, might be bilingual or Spanish speaking predominantly, we're able to send a message in English. The message comes to them in Spanish. They can respond in Spanish, and it comes to us in English. You know, that allows them to have a voice, because often, you know, if no one is bilingual in our building, or, you know, which we do have bilingual staff members, but if there are situations like that, then you get stuck, and that's not right. But those parents deserve a voice as well.
Okay. And So I want to ask you a school counselor question because mm-hmm. often school counselors are kind of quote unquote gatekeepers when it comes to the classes that students end up getting. What type of things do you do to ensure like maybe honors classes or some of those classes that are in a lot of situations are typically reserved for certain types of students?
Sure.
What do you do as a school counselor to ensure that all of your students are eligible to, or at least know, or parents know that these classes are available, any type of more rigorous honors type of courses?
Mm-hmm. Well, in our demographics, honestly, we're in my building, maybe 88% black and brown. So we usually don't have that challenge, but when it comes to our gifted program and different opportunities after school, for enrichment for our kids, you know, we make sure that we go through all of our students' test scores, their marking period grades, you know, ask teachers for input, because sometimes our parents won't speak up for their kids. And it's not that they're, you know, not wanting to, but they're not knowing. So I try to take that on myself. Like, you know, it's my job. You know, I tell parents, and even though it's a public school, but I say, you pay my salary, you know, with your tax money. And I think it really gives them a sense of pride that they understand that I care about the outcome of their child. You know, because it's easy when you go to a private school and say, oh, you pay my salary. We know that. But if you take that, you know, flip the mindset and say, hey, well, you do pay my salary, your tax money, no matter if you rent in this community, no matter if you own a home, you pay my salary. And I try to give you the best outcome for your child. So I'll try to find any avenues. But as far as that, when it comes to classes in our building in a middle school like that and in our demographics, it really isn't that much of a challenge because the majority of our classes are black and brown students.
Okay. Okay. So I want to shift over to kind of the main reasons why I wanted to connect with you, because I wanted to share, and I will definitely leave a link to your TEDx conversation that you had, or I guess TEDx is not really a conversation, but your TEDx speech that you provided.
Sure.
It's called The Seeds of Leadership.
Yes.
So could you share with us, what are the seeds of leadership?
The seeds of leadership are a way in which someone can self-reflect on if they're doing some, I don't say tenets, but they're doing some acts that can enable them to be a better leader, but just helping others. And granted, you don't have to be the CEO to be a leader. You can be a leader in your own house. You can be a leader in your classroom. You know, you can be a leader in a community, in your neighborhood, whatever it is, but you can be a leader. That's just how life works. You know, you don't have to have a title to be a leader. So I came up with five words that spell the word seeds, but a sacrifice, end game, equality, development, and strategy. Sacrifice, as we know, is when you're putting others in front of you to make sure that the greater good of a situation or a outcome is taken care of and it's not about you. End game is preparing for the end. You know, I say in my speech, as you're listening to, about Stephen Covey and how he speaks about preparing with the end in mind. And often people don't do that. You know, they're always worried about today, not thinking about the future. You know, I try to say if you prepare like that, you'll probably, you know, affect others better because you're taking care of yourself and then you're able to take care of others. Equality, you know, similar to this equity thing, but a little bit different, you know, as we know, but I talk about treating people fair and making sure they get what they're due and the respect that is needed. Development, you know, just talking about how you constantly have to develop yourself. Too often people get to a certain point in life and think they made it, you know, and I say, you got to keep building yourself up. You have to continue to do that so that you can grow. You know, a plant can't grow if it's not watered, you
That's
know,
right.
And a lot of people think that I get to a point and I'm okay, or, you know, I don't need to learn more. And I say, you got to continue to learn. And I think it's no excuse today, honestly, with the outreach of social media and the internet, that you can't learn. I mean, everything is out there. YouTube is so powerful. And look at LinkedIn. You know, I've had a LinkedIn for years. Recently, I just revamped it and got it going again. And lo and behold, I'm on a podcast less than a year later, you know,
right.
Like that's unbeatable. You know, and I never thought I would be on a podcast, but you have to take advantage of all this. And that's a way that you can continue to develop yourself and your skills professionally and personally. And then also, strategy, you know, just preparing, making the right moves. As I say in my speech, lose the battle to win the war. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's you're going to lose, you know, and as they say, failure is feedback. So you can see how you can get better, but that will help you grow as a person, and you'll be able to help more people, you know, as you go on. And I think those five words, if you look through those and look back and how am I doing sacrifice? How am I preparing for the end? How am I treating people equally fair and equitable in situations in which others might not want to speak up? How am I developing my character and trying to help develop others? And you know, just how am I using a strategy to be successful and not, you know, overextending myself. I think those help people really prepare for leadership and can help people in the future.
So Trey, I appreciate what you're saying, because before you even got into Seed, you explained, you're like, you don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be running a Fortune 500 company or a principal. I mean, we can all be leaders. I mean, I'm assuming that you consider yourself a leader within your capacity as a school counselor, because there's always someone that you can help provide them, show them the way. And I love the analogy that you brought up with the development part, because, you know, a lot of times, yeah, I do think that sometimes as teachers, even as sometimes even in administration, where we kind of get comfortable with, you know, okay, we're moving along, we're doing good, test scores are good, or our discipline is looking well, but how can we do even better?
Sure.
And I think just that part of the development is key. And I love the Seeds, and I think it's easy to remember. And so those who are listening can, again, sacrifice end game, equality, development, and strategy. Trey, how are you applying these principles in your personal and professional life?
In my personal life, those principles are my everyday. I'm married. I have a 6-year-old son. Sacrifice is everything. You know, it's always to make your family safe and secure and prosperous, and always to make sure that my son can do better in life than I am. I think I am doing well for a 36-year-old African-American male in this country, but I want to see him do even better in life. End game, personally, you know, trying to prepare for the future of my wife, trying to get things in order, how to get organized, and, you know, looking at what's the next move. Do we go back to school? You know, she's also a school counselor, ironically. So, you know, we try to just prepare and get organized in that way. Equally, one thing I would say, and this is professional and personal, or quality, excuse me. This is professional and personal, but it's how you treat people. I try never to do things for accolades or attention. You know, I mean, I'm the person who sometimes will, there might be somebody in the street who you can see needs something to eat. And if I'm next to a restaurant, I'll go and give somebody some food or something, you know, just because, not to take a picture and show it on social media that I fed the homeless or nothing as such. You know, it's just like doing the good, like believing that there's good karma out here, that if you do good and you don't have to show the world that you did it, it will come back. It will come back. Like it's no when, I can't tell you when, you know, but I know it will come back. And it doesn't mean if you gave somebody a dollar, they'll give you a dollar later on in life, you know, but just know if you treat people equally fair, it will be okay. You know, and you'll feel good about yourself. That's just one of the most important things. It'll be a self, you know, reflection of I did a good deed. And that's sometimes just as important. Development. I try to always, you know, constantly research myself as far as being a school counselor, a leader in education. As an educator, I try to find things that just how I found your podcast. You know, I try to constantly find things and say, how can I take things back to help my school, my community prosper? Always try to learn. Recently, you know, we're trying to do more career readiness for our students, K through 12. And I read something regarding LinkedIn that high school students should have LinkedIn accounts before they leave high school, which already prepares them for college, as colleges are looking at their digital, what do they call it, profile, as well as once you're in college, you can start removing some of your high school stuff and put your college experiences on there. And then you can start preparing for the job world, you know, but it's small things like that. I constantly try to look, how can I help? And sometimes they say, you know, money is a challenge in budget strapped district as ours is considered, but you have to find ways outside of that and find ways that might be free that can constantly help, you know, these children become successful, or whatever you do have access to, use it to its full potential. Find out every way in which you can help the kids. And, strategic wise, I just try to, you know, be mindful of what I do as far as personally, you know, not trying to hang out all types of the night, you know, and then try to get up and serve people. And then, you know, professionally, you know, when the end of the day goes, leave all the work at work, you know, because strategy is in a way in which you have to find that helps you conduct yourself in a good manner, you know, your strategic plan for your walk in life, because you only got one chance at this thing called life. You know, you don't want to blow it with trying to make bad decisions.
So let me ask you this, Trey, what is your end game? What's next for you?
You know what? I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I have been told that there's a possibility I could possibly make a good administrator in education, K through 12. So that is a possible option. But I think I need to learn more. I want to constantly develop my skills, because honestly, I was never in a classroom. I was a juvenile detention counselor for 6 years. And for the last 8 years, I've I've been a school counselor in middle school. So I never went into the classroom and transitioned to the school counseling. So I want to make sure that I'm able to, you know, help teachers when we're going through different, you know, challenges with curriculum and stuff like that, that I can be effective because I don't have that complete experience. But I do have some, you know, some great administrators that I work underneath that really try to, I think, help me learn more about the challenges that teachers have. And I think that's helping me prepare if that is a next step. And then just see what the future holds. I mean, you never know. I mean, the way the world is changing, you know, they say that there's X amount of jobs that haven't even been created yet that will be available mm-hmm. in, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. So I don't know where I'll be, but I just hope to be making an effective difference in the lives of people.
Okay. And you talked about how you guys at your school, I think you said it was district, right? Why? But it's more of the college and career technical education that you're focusing. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, there's not a new initiative, but it's more of a mandate now in the state of Pennsylvania, called the Chapter 339, which is a district wide counseling curriculum, which, focuses on career readiness. And in our building, we have different initiatives that we're doing. You know, like we're making Google Forms to, you know, have a simulated like resume that kids should just implement. Now it's very, very basic, but it just shows them some of the questions that later on in life might be more complex, but that they're asking that it can still be used on a, you know, 14-year-old account at this point, meaning like in their life, you know, they have who can say good things about you, as in that would be like references later on, or, mm-hmm. you know, what job skills do you have now, you know, or what kind of work have you done, including babysitting, just teaching them little things as such that will be replaced later on. We're also working on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was really interested in that. So walk me through that, Trey. So you said that you do kind of like a mock interview / resume. I mean, that's great that you're doing that in middle school.
Yeah. So this year, and it will be implemented this year, but mm-hmm. I was able to, create on the Google Doc, you know, my coworker, she had a old form, but you know, it's 2018. So we're trying to use Google Classroom a lot more mm-hmm. with our kids. So I created a document that asked the questions like, what's your name, your address, you know, say three good things about yourself, or mm-hmm. who could speak highly about you. It was just like real basic stuff, but it's honestly his resume / what's the future will probably be LinkedIn type of information, okay. you know? And it just prepares them because they don't have to think outside the box. Like when you're talking about accolades or awards, you know, it gives them an example. Have you been student of the month? Have you had honor roll? You know, small things that they implement, that they input and they put through their Google form and they submit it and it comes to me and I get to see the background and see, you know, what they're thinking about. But also they also ask like, what job do you want to be in the future? You know, mm-hmm. like that's asking like, what are you basically applying for? Same type of concept. And then, as for career readiness, I can have this information as they transition to high school. You know, the counselors there will be able to see it. Their accounts that they have stay with them throughout their whole entire 12 years of schooling. So they're able to always look back on this information at any time. So it's pretty powerful.
We do something very similar. We call it the brag sheet out here in Idaho, which is basically a lot of times, cause I work more with the high school kids and it's okay. We're getting ready to apply to a college or we're applying to a scholarship and they don't know where to start with their essays. Mm-hmm. And we produce this document. It's just kind of like what you're saying, where it's like, okay, well, what have you done while you were in high school?
Sure.
You know, did you do any sports? Were you in any clubs or what's your GPA? And tell us about your parents. And because a lot of times, you know, students don't necessarily know how to boast or brag about themselves in a way Correct. That doesn't come off, you Correct. Know, like arrogant or whatever. And so, yeah, I'm doing this in middle school. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And I think that's so true because it's hard to brag about yourself, you mm-hmm. know, and people say, well, that's how people get jobs in their interviews. And then it doesn't mm-hmm. mean you're going to be a great employee, but that is part of the process of the interview. You have to learn how to speak confidently about yourself and things you do well. So others can appreciate that because people feel when you're confident about yourself, people can feel that and they're attracted to that. Mm-hmm. In essence. So,
okay. Trey, I ask one question to all of my guests. Mm-hmm. I consider you providing a voice in leading equity. Mm-hmm. So what is one word of advice that you could provide to our listeners?
I have just a couple things, if I can all put it in one.
That's fine.
But, you know, I continue to knock down the barriers that hold up the inequitable situations in school. You know, speak up when things aren't right. If you notice that you have a high Spanish-speaking population, Make sure that all the emails that go home to parents are in English and in Spanish, mm-hmm. you know, or work on using things like talking points, making sure you can communicate with families. You know, they really appreciate that. You know, it's a small thing, but it goes a long way. Know that your lens of judgment might not always be right, because often we think we have these degrees, as I said earlier, and, you know, I've been working 15 years and I know this community and I know this district. But sometimes you have to get deeper and to get understanding. You know, it doesn't matter. No one is perfect and things change. And one thing that's really big to me is teach the students how to spot inequitable situations as well, because that's going back to planting the seeds for your replacements, because you don't want in 10 years that the new employees or the community members are fighting the same challenges that you were. And you could have taught them how to start pointing them out at years ago, you know, at a younger age. So I think that's a very, very, you know, important thing, to teach them how to look for inequitable situations as well. And then, you know, one thing I always say, and it's a quote by Frederick Douglass, is I prefer to be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring ridicule of others, rather than to be false and incur my own hatred. You know, and I think that's so important. Just be real to yourself and speak up. Don't be scared. People are going to talk about you. It's what it is. When you're fighting for what's right, people are going to go against you and think you know it all, or why are you going against the grain and the norm? But you do what's right. Don't let your voice be drowned out by hatred and stuff. Just stay strong.
Stay strong. I mean, that can often be tough, you know, for especially a young student that is, again, going against the grain or not doing what society or the school culture is wanting things to be. So I think that's a powerful message. And even teachers, if it's not the popular method or if it's not the popular way to go, you know, you to stand up and be able to provide that voice is so key.
Yeah. And it's challenging. It's very challenging, especially because in education, and especially in this country, minority educators are very, very few and far between on the grand scheme. And when you speak up on that, you know, people look at you certain ways, and hopefully some of your coworkers are believing what you're saying and they see the same situation and are starting to realize that. But, you know, often it's challenging, but you gotta, don't let your voice crack. Stay strong as you can, you know, as you fight these ills, because people will end up respecting you later on for you just standing up for what you believe in. And hopefully that will open their eyes up to the reality that everything is not right.
Hmm. So Trey, what's the best way that people can reach you online? Do you have any social media that you would like to share?
Yes, they can get me on LinkedIn, Ernest Trey Hadrick III. I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way to contact me. I really don't have a Twitter account. I'm a big fan of LinkedIn, and I'm willing to connect with anybody. Inbox, we can communicate and further from there.
Okay, and I'll add that. I'll add a link to your LinkedIn in our show notes as well. Trey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, folks, that's the end of another episode of the Leading Equity Podcast. I hope you had an opportunity to learn some things today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Provide a 5-star rating if you're looking for others to find this podcast as well, because the rankings matter. So I appreciate the comments that you're leaving already. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play. If you're looking for more episodes, you can always go to my website, which is sheldonakins.com. I stay active on Twitter, so please follow me at Sheldon Akins. And remember, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. Let's continue to be a voice in leading equity.